Welcome to Nancy's Bookshelf, a weekly program of conversations with regional and national writers from North State Public Radio. Now, here's your host, Nancy Wigman.
Author Anna Moore teaches writing and literature as a lecturer at Chico State University. She has published creative nonfiction and some fiction. Her essay, Deathbed, was an honorable mention in Best American Essays 2022. Today I'm going to ask her about her first novel, Don't Pity the Desperate, about a teen's rehab experience. Anna Moore, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, the first thing I notice is I look at your cover and I could not figure out what in the world is depicted on this cover. Can you enlighten me?
Sure. I reached out to a dear friend of mine. Her name is Renee Bouchard, spelled with the masculine with one E. She lives in Long Island, and we went to college together. She knows me very well. We took fiction workshops together in undergrad, you know, last century. And I asked her if she would design the cover of my book. And I approached her initially because, well, she's an artist, but also because she was experiencing grief from a death in her family, and she was expressing it through collage art that she shares on Instagram and has a number of followers. And so after struggling with different ideas for the book cover, it occurred to me that collage art would be perfect for this book. And she read it. We had wonderful conversations, and I love it. I just love it. I'm so happy with it, and it was a wonderful process.
And you might add that it's colorful.
It's very, that's right. You all cannot see it, can you? It's very colorful. It has kind of items and references, pictures of things mentioned throughout the book in the 1980s. This is kind of a Gen X,
which is when
book.
Your book takes place,
yeah.
1980s.
That's right, in the 1980s. And so, you know, there's a picture of a mixtape. There's an image of a young girl holding a bottle of beer. There's a bookmark. There's landscapes. I mean, it's really, really beautiful. That was one of my favorite parts of the experience of getting this book published, actually. So Renee Bouchard on Instagram, if you're interested.
So you just told us about the cover.
Yeah.
But now the title is also the title, Don't Pity the Desperate?
Yeah.
Is that a problem that people pity the desperate?
This is kind of funny. So for the longest time, I worked on this book for years, which is not really uncommon as far as writers go. I worked on it for a really long time. And I always, the initial title was always The Desperate because, I mean, the protagonist, you'll know that she's desperate straight off the bat. And so are all the other characters, the ensemble of troubled teenagers in the book. So I called it The Desperate, and it was pointed out to me by very caring friends that The Desperate was a very boring title. So I started playing with it at the suggestion of the husband, who's always actually quite helpful. And I had Pity the Desperate, which is kind of, it's actually kind of what I think people should really do more than they do. But that was also just didn't work, the sound of it. And then I put a don't in front of it and I thought that's perfect. So it's an odd fit, but
so the title of your book, Don't Pity the Desperate, is you're telling somebody. It's a command.
Yeah.
So who are you telling, don't pity the desperate? Who is your target audience, a reader?
Well, the readers of this book, it's a pretty wide reach, actually. I think it's Gen X people who were teens or tweens in the 80s will connect with it quite a bit. Also, since it takes place in a rehab, the whole book is 60 days of the protagonist's experience in an inpatient drug and alcohol rehab in the 1980s. So anyone who has any experience really in the recovery community might be a good read for them. And I think, honestly, I think teenagers, it's being marketed as YA.
I wondered if it was, yeah.
So it's being marketed
as YA, for listeners, young adult.
Yeah. Yeah, it's being marketed as young adult and adult. So honestly, I don't know if teenagers today, well, who can say? There's a whole lot of them, and they all have wildly different tastes. But I don't know if teenagers would readily pick up this book and read it. I'm not really sure. I don't know.
So maybe their parents might be more likely to.
Maybe. Maybe.
My guest is Anna Moore, and she has written a novel, and the title of the novel is Don't Pity the Desperate. And since you're a teacher, I would think that you would hope we, the readers, would learn something from this book.
Yes and no. I feel like that's kind of as a writer of fiction, I feel like that's a tough spot for a fiction writer to be in. If I think of like what I want to teach readers, for me as a writer, that's going to interfere with just the telling of a good mm-hmm. story. If I keep that in the front of
my
head.
Well, I didn't mean it was obviously something you wanted to teach us, but that we can learn from this young woman's experience. Oh, you know, I've got a teenager, or a friend of mine has a teenager that maybe this would help an understanding of the teenager.
Sure, yeah. That is certainly a hope I have for it. The dedication of the book, let me find it really quick. I shouldn't need to find it, but I do. To teenagers, glorious, brilliant, devastating. We fail you. We forget. I'm sorry. So, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. If it's going to help uh-huh. anyone, kind of like anyone in my age, in particular, or parents of teens, try to remember what it's like to be a teenager. I found it impossible. I found it insufferable and very painful. So I think we can forget what that's like.
Well, your main character we meet right off on page one,
mm-hmm.
but we don't know anything about her. Just the action begins right away.
Yes, it does.
But then we've been talking about the fact that she goes into rehab. So mm-hmm. that's where I would like you to pick up and read us a little bit, starting with who her counselor is when she goes to rehab.
Sure. So I'll just begin right there. Myra's primary counselor was named Rachel, and in small group therapy every morning and afternoon, Rachel let the group say anything they wanted to whoever was sharing. I think you're lying. Get honest. I can't believe this. Rachel never smiled or showed affection. Neither did Russell Dean, the other counselor. Did they like her or hate her? Did they approve or disapprove? Did they think she was smart or stupid? And why did she care? Why did she always have to care so much about what everyone thought? Because it mattered, that's why. And it wasn't depression, and it wasn't a disorder. Just because you wanted everyone to love you and wanted to make sure they did. Because if everyone did love you and you knew it, wouldn't you be confident and happy for the rest of your life, no matter what? Wouldn't panic disappear? Wouldn't Myra be able to say what she wanted and learn what was important and understand everything? Wouldn't she be brave enough to be herself?
This is author, Chico author, Anna Moore, reading from a novel she has written. And the title of the novel is Don't Pity the Desperate. And so we're meeting this young girl who sounds like she's desperate.
Yes, quite.
Well, the reason she happens to go to rehab, she gets herself in trouble.
Indeed.
And it involves a police officer. But this police officer seems like an understanding person. Why don't you introduce her to the police officer, and why did the police officer come on the scene?
So Myra obviously is a drunk. She's quite the alcoholic, and she is out all night with a boy, and then she leaves the scene with the boy. And she's out in the country, in the Iowa country. This is set in Iowa City, Iowa, and areas around there. And she has a lot to drink, and she passes out under a tree. She's not real classy. And she wakes up, and the officer is there. I'm Officer Jane. Your father is worried sick about you. She led Myra to the back of the police car, closed the door. Myra became aware of her heart, the way it beat fast and heavy like a premonition. She put her hand on her chest and willed it to slow down. It didn't. Myra swallowed with what little saliva she could generate, looked out the window at the barbed wire fence line and then at the gray dirt smudges on the tops of her tree-torn shoes. "Please, please, please," she asked God, in whom she only believed when she thought she might die, which was whenever she woke up after getting drunk. "Please give me one more chance." Jane pulled onto the road and spoke into the CB microphone she held in one hand. It occurred to Myra that if she died, Jane could revive her. Phew!
This is Anna Moore reading from her novel, Don't Pity the Desperate. And this young teenager, has gotten herself in trouble. And so what happens next?
She's... She's worried about dying because she's being treated for depression. And this was in the 1980s, and they didn't have a lot of great treatments for depression then. So she's on a drug called Elavil, which many of you might recognize.
Yeah.
And at the time, her doctors tell her that she should not drink at all on Elavil because there's a risk that it could stop her heart. But, I mean, she doesn't care about that. Alcoholics don't care about that. So she drinks anyway. So every time she wakes up from getting drunk, she feels her heart beating and she's afraid it's going to stop. So she's afraid of that. And she realizes that she's going to be okay. Her heart slows down. And then by that time, the officer has driven her home. And her father is waiting for her, and he's been up all night, and he's scared to death.
Yeah.
And
a little more.
She's sorry. And she is deciding not to tell people certain things in treatment as this is going on.
Yeah, because she's in the story, she's in rehab.
Right.
And this was kind of a flashback as to why she happened to be in rehab.
Yeah, sorry, I'm being a little unclear. So this is Myra in group telling them what happened to her that night, how she got there. "After that," Myra told them, "I had to wait to be admitted for 7 days because you all were full, but my dad forced me into the hospital so I wouldn't drink until I came here or kill myself or anything. Not that I would have. I guess my dad was just worried." Lie? Omission? Both? She had threatened to kill herself if her father sent her to rehab. She just had not been serious about it. But she could not tell any of them this either, or that whenever she lied, she felt a twinge of guilt, shame, discomfort. It was always a betrayal.
This Anna Moore reading the thoughts of her main character in her book, Don't Pity the Desperate. And this young woman's name is Myra. And she's in rehab, but she's not sure, well, how much should I tell these other people? And should I lie? Well, and so what does she then do? Because you have a section of your book entitled Truthfulness.
Yes. Yeah.
Why don't you read a section starting with Truthfulness?
I do want to say, so Myra, the book moves from the present moment of Myra in rehab back in time constantly. Lots of switches of timelines, and that's one of the reasons I'm having a little trouble trying to talk about it. But anyway, okay. So this is Truthfulness.
For example, Myra has this habit that we as a reader learn about that is a rather odd habit. But anyway, why don't you read us about Truthfulness?
Okay. Myra's father was sitting across the conference table, no plastic coating this time, but real wood oval with layers of varnished grain and a beveled edge. Was it mahogany? Myra knew that mahogany was a dark shade. Through the windows behind Rachel, a plane of gravel of graveled tar rooftop glinted in the sun. Beside her father was Russell Dean. Myra didn't know why he was here. She had never had group with him. He was not her counselor. But Myra never asked about things like this, about decisions they made, grateful to be so consistently a center of their attention. So she might have felt uncomfortable. So what? They knew what they were doing. She was becoming more and more accepting of this with the passing of each group, each session, each meal, each minute she spent at our primary purpose. And Russell Dean was Charlie's counselor, so Myra felt Charlie here, too, watching her, as if he were privy to her secrets. Her father was listening to her without responding, as Rachel had instructed. This meeting was Own Up, where patients told their families about every drug they had ever consumed and everything they had ever lied about. Patients got peer support during Own Up, and Jen had volunteered. She sat next to Myra, listening and watching. The only thing missing was Myra's paper cup of water. Grace, the nurse, no longer let her have one to sip. "You've been here 14 days," she'd said. "Your tonsils should be healed up." "My throat still hurts," she said. "Tough." What was so terrible about her carrying water around? What if all of them carried cups of water around just because they wanted to? And Myra's throat really did hurt, still. Every single time she swallowed, her stitches might have melted away by now, but those tissues were raw and sore, vulnerable to saliva, to inhalations of smoke and air, to scratchy mouthfuls of the Lay's potato chips patients sometimes got with lunch, one of those tiny bags they sold at 7-Eleven for 25 cents, or crumbly crusts of toast they got with breakfast. Grace wanted to enforce her will, but all Myra wanted was cold water. It soothed the gape of her skin and her pharynx where her tonsils used to be. Myra stopped talking and looked at Rachel. "Could I please have some water?" "After Own Up," Rachel said. Myra had been so nervous beforehand that she trembled. "It's okay," Rachel had said during their brief meeting that morning. "Everyone is anxious before Own Up. Some patients even vomit, but they all felt better afterward, like a weight was removed."
This is Chico author Anna Moore. She's reading from her novel, Don't Pity the Desperate. Now, I was telling a friend about this book, Anna, and she said, how does she know all this? Is this taken from her own experience in some way? So you don't have to answer this question, but somebody I was telling about the book did wonder how you know so much about this.
Yeah, it's absolutely based on my personal experience. It's not, you know, it's an autobiographical novel. Myra's not entirely me or a stand-in for me. She's actually quite different from me. But yes, absolutely. It was, it was an immersive experience of my adolescence that absolutely shaped my perspective of the world and still does in many ways.
Well, you know, as you're saying this, I'm looking at your beautiful hair.
Oh,
because
thank you.
Your main character has a relationship with her hair
that is
rather unusual.
Yeah.
And that comes up in, I'm going to ask you to read one more section of your book.
Sure.
And so I want listeners to know, what does she do with her hair?
Okay. So this is later on in Own Up, after she's confessed everything. Her father was staring at her. He wore a jacket and a clean shirt and tie. His huge hands were clasped together on the table. "Keen," said Rachel. She wore a bright green collared shirt that day with white buttons. "Do you have questions? Anything you want to say to Myra?" Keen pulled a handkerchief from his pants pocket, blew his nose loudly, put it back. No one spoke. Then he walked around the table and stood before Myra. He opened his long arms, spread them into an upside-down V, and attempted to smile. "Do you have a hug for your father?" "No physical contact yet, okay, Keen?" said Russell Dean. "We wait until the end of Own Up." Keen did not move, nor did he acknowledge that Russell Dean had spoken. Myra stood up and hugged her father. He rested his arms around her in not a strong hug, but a slight one, a hug that lacked firmness and presence. This was how he had always hugged her, not as if he didn't want to, but as if he didn't know how, didn't comprehend the protocol, didn't understand what was required. But Myra hugged him with all of who she was, with every part of herself. Her throat hurt. She pressed her head into his significant chest and sniffled and clasped her fingers together behind his back. His tie felt cool against her cheek, his belly a place of rest, his giant frame a miniature mountain of safety. Then he pushed her away and she let him go. They returned to their seats and Myra grabbed Jen's hand and held it. Jen squeezed. Myra felt like Jen was her good, good friend. Keen blew his nose again. Myra gazed at him, wishing he would not leave or that she could go with him. "What would you like to say, Keen?" Myra smiled at him limply. Her lips felt like wet noodles. He smiled back in the same way. She heard breath coming and going through his nose. "I've been a bad parent," he said. And Myra's throat pain disappeared and switched to blankness, except it couldn't have been blankness because she could feel it. And how could you feel nothing? Was this possible? What was in there? "I don't think I can say much more right now." "Would you like to write to her? Parents often take that option if they can't respond today." "That might be the best thing," he said. "Okay." Rachel closed a file folder. "There is something else we need to discuss before you go, Keen. we need to talk about Myra's hair pulling. Myra looked at Rachel, and Rachel looked back slowly, her expression like a bare face of rock, as if she were looking down at Myra from a boulder, a cliff, an ancient platform of stone, telling her how things would be. "We need to talk about this, Myra," said Rachel. Myra felt herself breathing in, breathing out. Her mouth hung open, and she didn't know it. Rachel smiled politely. "Myra acts on a compulsion to pull out her hair, Keen. She's been doing it since she was 12. The medical term is trichotillomania." "You pull out your hair?" Keen stared at Myra, his eyes roaming over her head. All the barrettes and tiny buns swirled into place. He put his hands over his eyes, and one of his long, thin hairs flopped over his left ear. Myra liked it when his hair fell out of its slicked hold. She liked seeing the curls he was always trying to comb away.
This is Chico author Anna Moore. She has written a novel that is for young adults and adults, and it's a story of a teenager in rehab. And we really the dad's such a sympathetic character, you know, because sometimes parents are the bad guys, mm-hmm. but not in your book.
Yeah.
So as a reader myself, I really liked her dad.
Yeah, Keen. I want to say actually a couple of things. The novel, just back to your other question, the novel is based on my experience, but I just want to clarify this. All kinds of things I made up.
Oh, sure.
About Myra and her trichotillomania and things like
that. And
that's
an interesting term, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That there's a label for people who yank
there
on their
is.
Hair.
Yeah. And so I did some research on that to make it a part of the book. But Keen, I kind of... I mean, he's modeled after a number of fathers I know. I don't think any writers would hesitate to say that a lot of the characters that I create anyway are like amalgamations of different people in my life that I've encountered. He's sympathetic, but he's also just really incapable of connecting with Myra and being there for her. But I'm really glad to hear you say that you liked him and that you saw him as a struggling parent, which is certainly what I was aiming for. So, yeah, good.
Yeah. Well, as I said, it aimed for young people, but also adults. And the title of the book, again, is Don't Pity the Desperate. Thank you, Anna.
Yeah, thank you.
My guest was Chico author Anna Moore, and she has written her first novel, Don't Pity the Desperate. When I come back, I'll have a new guest, Eric Miller. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wiegman. I'm Nancy Wiegman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. Eric Miller is a freelance writer based in Chico. His work has appeared in newspapers, magazines, and his Etc. Guy blog, where he writes about family life. Locally, his work has appeared in the Chico Enterprise Record, the Chico News and Review, and Growing Up Chico magazine. Eric Miller is a longtime supporter of the Butte County Library Adult Literacy Program and has co-emceed its annual Trivia Bee fundraiser since 2015. He'll be doing that again at this year's Trivia Bee on Friday, October 25th, in the Sierra Nevada Brewery Big Room. Doors open at 6 p.m., and the event starts at 7. Eric Miller, welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Nancy. It's always great to see you.
Well, for people who may not be familiar with the Trivia Bee, how does that work?
Well, this is a fundraiser. It is one of the many programs that Butte County Library Services offers, but this one specifically is for adult learning. And I understand you'll speak to library staff with more details on that. But this particular event has been going on for the better part of probably 15 years or so. I started my involvement in 2015. But long story short, Sierra Nevada Big Room at Sierra Nevada Brewery has been excellent hosts over the past close to 10 years. There are teams of three people that participate on each of these trivia teams. Last year we had maybe 15 or 16 teams. The most we've had, I can recall, is maybe 25 teams. And then there's people in the audience that listen to the questions. So among my role is to help read the questions, and I usually flub up some words, and that's part of the fun because I don't really I take it seriously, but I don't take myself seriously. It's a lot of fun, and there are people that are inclined to shout out the answers, and I have to look sternly at them, Nancy, and have them escorted off the premises. You cannot shout out an answer. But the whole idea is to raise awareness, but also to raise some financial support for the adult literacy program.
My guest is Eric Miller, and he is co-host of the Butte County Library Trivia Bee that is coming up October 25th. And you mentioned that you've been doing this for quite a few years, and you have a co-host. And your co-host is somebody new?
Yes, I'll be working with a gentleman from Chico State. We have not met yet, so I don't want to mispronounce his name. So if you're listening, I look forward to seeing you. But the Trivia Bee includes three rounds of questions. So the first round is generally the round to filter out people, but it's 30 questions. Then you have an intermission, then a break of another 15 questions, round two.
And then there's a buffet set up.
There's a buffet set up, too.
Great food there at Sierra Nevada.
Oh, terrific food.
And so during the break, people can go out maybe and get a bite and come back and sit down.
Yes, and if I don't like them, I'll just tell them to stay out there and keep eating. So it's typically a three-round event, and the third round is for the top six or so finalists, and the winners get a nice medal. They get bragging rights. It was a couple of years ago, we had three or four overtimes, and I have a list of questions for multiple overtimes, and I was getting pretty thin on some of the questions, so I just started making up stupid jokes and just to keep this thing going. But we finally did have a winner. We did not need pistols or swords to declare a winner.
So if they keep a tie and you have to have a runoff, but you run out of questions?
Yes. And then we came close to running out of questions. So it'll be interesting to see how smart these people are or how tolerant they are of your jokes. That's right. I sometimes get booed, but that's okay. I boo back. We just have a good time. A lot of fun banter.
Well, suppose I have, a couple of friends that like trivia. So how many on a team?
You can't bring any of your friends, Nancy. We are not interested in meeting your friends. The team has teams of three. But if you don't want to, there's a more of an entrance fee for that, a little more money. But if you don't want to set up a team, you don't have to.
You mean a single person can say, I'm a whole team?
Well, no. You can't. Teams will have three persons per team, and they're usually sitting up front on the stage near where the questions are being read. But in terms of the audience, if you want to check this out and see what it's like, you're welcome to come, whether you're alone or with some friends. And each table has a little notepad and a pen where you can talk amongst yourselves.
That is fun.
Yeah.
And I have done that with a fellow trivia fan, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, and that's where part of the role of the co-hosts are to keep track of the people that are shouting out their answers so they're banished. We'll have a couple bouncers there.
Well, we would silently write it down and show each other.
Right. Yes. You have to write slowly and silently. And so don't give away any answers.
So when you have a team, do we have time now? How far in advance do we have to let you know, hey, I've got a team here, Eric?
I believe the library staff coordinates the entrances, fees, and signups for the teams, and they can go up to the last minute.
Oh, that's good to know.
Right. But if there's a group of folks that are really curious and want to do this, contact Butte County Library Services as soon as possible. And I don't have that information handy, but you can set up a team that way. And it's not, it's often entertaining to see some of these teams dress up.
Oh,
not all of them, but if you recall the Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall and people in the gallery are dressed up as something silly, there are people that go to that level. So it's pretty amusing. It's a fun night.
And the teams can get together. So you pose a question, you're the MC, and then these three on a team put their heads together and come up with an answer.
That's correct.
That the three of them say, yeah, we think this is it.
That's right. And each, there is a... I can't recall offhand what the grace period is, maybe 30 seconds to think about it, talk amongst yourselves. In past years, Nancy Brower, a retired county librarian, and Judge Stephen Benson have been supporters of this too, where Nancy is a timer and the Judge Benson will keep track of any contested answers, you know. And so they're part of the fun too. And so you have a roughly 30 seconds or so to answer your question. A warning bell goes off for a 5 second, and pencils down. What's the answer? So it's quite a bit of fun.
Are there categories for the questions, or it just can be anything? Because like a Jeopardy, there are categories.
No categories. So we have ranging from science to literature to Disney characters to there's probably going to be a Kim Kardashian question in there. Someone stuck that in there a few years ago, got booed, and then so we kept it. So there is I don't know which round it will appear, but I'm pretty sure a Kardashian question is going to appear.
My guest is Eric Miller, and he is a freelance writer based in Chico, and he is co-host of the Trivia Bee that benefits Butte County Library. So if you appreciate the services of the library and want to support it, here's your opportunity. Now, this is adult literacy, and they are going to benefit from the funds that are raised at this fun event.
Right. That's right. So, and this is a program I'm actually looking into myself. I've not been a volunteer instructor or teacher, but the county has a need for that meet with individuals who are based in Chico or Oroville or elsewhere in Butte County and meet with them once or twice a week, or excuse me, maybe once a week or a couple times a month, just to help them learn how to read. And so that's something that I would try to find interesting. You made me think of one thing. The doors open for the Trivia Bee, 6 o'clock. The event starts on time at 7, and typically it'll go till 9:30 at night, depending on if there's a runoff and overtime. So plan on an evening.
Well, now, I have the feeling that, say, contestants on Jeopardy bone up on topics before they appear. So do people say, hey, you know what, let's review. What should they review if they want to get together their team and say, you know, Eric's going to ask us whatever they think you might ask?
You know, I was thinking about that, Nancy. I think you specifically should read the Old Testament. And the Book of Proverbs has a lot of wisdom in it. And so you can catch a zillion categories. You know, this is total trivia. It could be anything, sports. If you are inclined and know a lot of things about stuff that doesn't matter, this could be perfect for you.
Well, for example, crossword puzzles often want to know some hip-hop star, and I don't know these young guys who are hip-hop stars.
Well, that's really funny because those kinds of questions will come up too, and nobody knows unless there's a younger team. So if you're a Chico State student and you know this stuff, set up a team.
So it might be beneficial for your teammates to be of different backgrounds. And not have you all be, say, the same age or the same background.
Well, actually, that's a good point. Yeah, have a diversified group. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
My guest is Eric Miller, and he is going to be the co-host of the annual Trivia Bee fundraiser held at Sierra Nevada Brewery, big room. And the doors, as he said, will open at 6 p.m., and the event will start, and he says, precisely at 7
p.m. Exactly at 7. We're more on time than Southwest Airlines.
Oh, my.
Yeah. We just don't know where to get you out of there, though. That's the problem.
And you have been doing this how many years?
I think this is 8 or 9 or 10. So year 9, I think. We had a break with the COVID years.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
So I started in 2015.
Yeah, and you started back in, what year would that have been?
Yeah, that was 2015. And so just think of all the brand new trivia that's occurred between then and now.
Where do you get the questions?
Actually, there are some secret staff at Butte County Library, and there's several individuals. They are out. That is their goal in life, is to trump and goof up a lot of people with their questions.
So they have a sense of humor like
They have a great sense of humor. They may not be comfortable standing in front of a group, but sometimes I'll look at these questions. I just start smiling and laughing, and I'm looking at them, and they're laughing at me like, yeah, we got you, huh? I'm like, yeah, you sure did. Let's wait to hear how the audience responds.
Yeah, I cannot imagine a librarian wanting to get up in front of people like you do. That doesn't sound like the thing they would want to do, but they get a kick out of writing the questions, huh?
You know, there's the thing about the library. There's a word for everything in the dictionary, and the library has just a lot of books. It's really cool.
Well, you know, years ago there was a scandal because the contestants were getting the answers. So these librarians have to be mum. You probably don't even know. Do you know the names of the people who come up with these questions?
Yes, I know several people.
You do, but
right?
Yeah.
No, and I've been gently teased at the trivia bee by certain teams that want the answers. And I said, no, you're not going to get any answers from me. Right.
Well, tell us again how, if we think we'd like to put together a team, how we go about doing that.
I would suggest contacting some friends that you have, if they're especially trivia buffs or if they want a special Friday night out on the evening. It's an excellent cause. The way to set up a team is to contact Butte County Library Services. And so their information should be available on the internet, and perhaps library staff can have more information on that.
And you say they can put together a team right up until the last minute.
Yes, but I think it helps the planners be a little more in tune. You know, the sooner the better. But there have been entries as late as a day or two before, and which is good. But it's all planning. It's a big party.
So tell us again when, where, so forth, so people will know when their deadline is to get ready.
You have until the actual event is Friday night, October 25th. At the Sierra Nevada Brewery Big Room. Special shout out to Sierra Nevada Brewery. They've been just terrific, fun staff, beautiful venue. So that's located in Chico. Doors open at 6 p.m. The event starts exactly at 7 p.m. There's food available. Tickets start on, I think they're $40 each if you want to
We do. We hadn't mentioned the price. Yes.
Right. And so contact Butte County Library for that kind of information too. So it's a fun night.
So $40 will get you a lot of fun.
You'll get a lot of fun, right.
So, Eric, if my team wins, what do we get?
You get a new car. It's actually...
You get a car and you get
You get nothing, Nancy. Actually, winners do get medals. So we're just closing out the Paralympics. We had the Paradise Olympics.
Yeah.
So it is a... gold, silver, bronze, first, second, third place medals. And these teams wear them with pride. And there is a lot of camaraderie, and it's competitive. They want that gold medal.
So we get bragging rights.
You get bragging rights. The smartest people in Chico that really know a lot about a lot of things that don't matter. And you can wear a medal for it.
Well, we will look forward to seeing you, Eric, on the 25th of October to benefit the library.
Thanks. Let's all do it.
After a break, I'll be talking to Library Director Misty White and Chelsea James, in charge of the adult literacy at Butte County Library. You're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm Nancy Wigman. I'm Nancy Wigman, and you're listening to Nancy's Bookshelf on North State Public Radio. I'm delighted to welcome two guests from the Butte County Library, the library director, Misty Wright, and the adult literacy manager, Chelsea James. Now, Chelsea, why would people need to know about the literacy program?
Well, the literacy program is free in Butte County to all adults who need tutoring, whether it's for reading and writing or learning English as a foreign language.
So you can help people who are trying to learn English if it's not their first language?
Exactly. We can match them with a one-on-one tutor who can meet them at the library weekly to help them study. And we also have English conversation groups weekly where they can practice their English in a group setting.
Well, now, if this idea sounds good to me, how do I go about signing up as a volunteer?
We have tutor trainings 4 times a year, and if you'd like to get on the list for the next one, which is November 16th, you can call our number at 530-552-5650, or you can send us an email at literacy@buttecounty.net.
So if I didn't happen to have something to write with when you said that phone number, can I go on your website?
Yes, you can go on the buttecounty.net website and then under Departments, select Library.
Well, now, have you been doing this for very long? Have you always lived in this area?
I've been working in the literacy program for almost 2 years now, but I have only been the manager for the past 9 months.
Well, I'm so glad you're doing this. Thank you. Now, along with Chelsea James, who is the manager of the Adult Literacy Program, are you new? My other guest is Misty Wright, who's the library director, the Butte County Library. Aren't you new?
I've been acting director and now interim director of the library for, it'll be a year next week. Previously, I was the assistant director for a couple years and I was a branch manager as well. So in October, I will be starting my 5th year with Butte County.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody says, I think I know everything the library does for us. Do you have an update? Maybe services that we didn't know about?
Yeah, there's so much to do at the library, both inside our doors and, you know, outside if you can't come in. We've got a lot of electronic resources that are available online. We also have programs. One of our most popular programs right now is our Access to Technology program, which started as a grant-funded program with a partnership from DES, from the Department of Social Services. And that program assists senior citizens and adults with disabilities in learning how to use technology. So we have a couple of staff members who can show you how to use your iPhone, how to use your tablet, your laptop, how to use websites, how to use a computer, like starting from scratch, anything that you want to know about computers. We have these staff who can help you. And that program has been very popular, as you can imagine.
I can't imagine. Because I was just saying about the library that I grew up in was so totally different from the library you've just been describing.
Right. And, you know, everything now is based on computers, and you can't even really schedule a doctor's appointment without knowing how to use a computer, or they want to do telemed. So a lot of people are facing, a lot of problems because they don't know how to use that technology. So that's where our program comes in, and you can just sign up on our website and get
I have wondered about that because I do have devices. So if my doctor says you've got to use the internet, I think, yeah, I can do that. But what about people who cannot? Mm-hmm. And so that's where you come in.
Exactly.
What a wonderful service. Got to say.
Yeah. So that's one of our new exciting ones. And then, of course, we have our old standbys, our story time programs that are happening in every single branch across the county. You know, we do story times for hundreds of kids every week all over the county.
You know, that adjective you just used, exciting, I don't know that I would ever expect that way of describing a library. But what you've been saying, it is exciting.
It's very exciting. We've got a lot of exciting stuff happening at the library. So we just want everybody to come and see what we've got going on in Chico, Paradise, all six of the major cities. We've got a branch.
Yeah, because it's the overall is the Butte County Library, but you have numerous branches located where people are.
Mm-hmm.
So this, I've just been asking questions of Misty Wright, who's the library director, and telling various services. Now, I want to go back to you, Chelsea, and give you a chance to tell us more about the literacy program that you are in charge of.
Yeah, so another program we offer is our Career Online High School program. This allows adults who never graduated from high school to earn their diploma completely online at their own pace and free, thanks to a generous grant from California State Library. This program would normally cost over $1,200, but if they enroll through the library, it's completely free.
My goodness. Now, that is really a nice service. And I think a lot of times, maybe those of us who like to read books don't realize that there are adults who can't read because I don't think they want it known. They pretend. I've heard of stories that a guy will be a longtime adult and he won't let people know that he couldn't read.
Right. There's a lot of shame involved, but it's actually 20% of Butte County that has low literacy. So that's over 40,000 adults in our county alone that are struggling with reading and writing.
And that's where your program comes in.
Yeah, and we just need help spreading the word.
Yeah, so here's your opportunity. Again, Chelsea James is her name, and she's telling us about the Adult Literacy Program. Now, is your program going to benefit from the Trivia Bee that's coming up in October 25th?
Yes, the Trivia Bee is our annual fundraiser, so all of the ticket sales, the team sales, and then there are also raffles at the event. All of that money goes to support our program, to help us buy workbooks and textbooks and any other supplies needed for the learners.
Well, you know, there is a charge, of course, because it's a fundraiser, but, you know, I think people go out to eat, might spend $40 on dinner, and with this, they get dinner and fun for their $40.
Right. They get appetizers and the fun of a night of trivia.
And I don't think you'd mind if people said, hey, you know, Chelsea, I think I want to give you more than $40.
Oh, absolutely. We are accepting donations.
Well, another kind of fundraiser that I think people probably know about, and that is your book sales, sometimes like paperbacks. They practically give them away, but they do bring in a little bit of income, and it's fun to go down and look through books that you didn't know you might want to read.
Yeah, those are held by our partner organization, the Friends of the Library, and each branch has its own friends group.
So there's another opportunity for people to serve our community to join Friends of the Library. How would they go about doing that? Misty?
Hi. Yeah, so on our website, there will be a part that'll separate off into like a friends area to go to the various friends groups. And you can join online for all of those, or you can go to any of the branches, and there should be some information there to sign up, because a lot of people still like to sign up the old-fashioned way with paper.
Well, yes. I'm partial to paper and ink myself.
Yeah, so go to any of the branches that you want to support, and there should be some information there on how to join that local friends group.
So what somebody might do is just browse your website. Mm-hmm. And just explore what possibilities, what might be of interest to them by just exploring the website. So do you have either of you, Misty Wright is the director of the Butte County Library, and Chelsea James is in charge of the Adult Literacy Program. Do either of you have any additional information you would like listeners to know?
Just that we're always accepting volunteers, and it only takes 1 hour a week to change a life.
Oh, my. That's a wonderful opportunity. I know friends of mine that are retired, and they just kind of say, okay, now what? And they sit on their sofa in the living room, and this would be a wonderful opportunity for them to make a new friend.
Exactly. And we have some pairs that have been together over 5 years, and they're just the best of friends at this point.
Oh, that's so nice to hear. Well, I really appreciate you two coming in and telling us about your services. Mm-hmm. Misty Wright is the library director of the Butte County Library, and Chelsea James is the manager of the Adult Literacy Program. So thank you two very much for what you do.
Can I just mention one more thing real quick? I just wanted to let everybody know that September is Library Card Sign Up Month. So I want to encourage everybody to come into the library, get a library card if you don't have one. If you can't make it into a branch for whatever reason, you can go online and get an online library card. card, so that way you can access any of our e-materials. We've got thousands of e-books and audiobooks that you can listen to. Sign up for your library card and library card sign-up month.
Well, this is another wonderful service that you offer. Thank you, too, so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I would also like to thank my first guest, Chico author Anna Moore, whose book is Don't Pity the Desperate. And I would like to thank humorist Eric Miller, who will be co-hosting the Trivia Bee coming up to benefit our public library. And next we have a segment we call The Writer's Room, and it features writers from around the North State.
Ode to Pencils. Brand new, straight-edged and blunt-tipped, eraser perfect. Such promise you show, lined up in your boxes like kenneled dogs awaiting my command. A finger's touch might send you rolling, but never very far. How reassuring you are. How delightful in your blind obedience, your dependable submission, your willingness to follow my flow wherever it goes and not complain or criticize or judge. How lovely are your lines across the page. How sibilantly flows the trail you leave behind, not breadcrumbs through the forest, but a well-worn path, as in summer, when the earth, baked firm and worn smooth by numberless sandaled feet, winds its way along the river, so I might pause and watch the boats go by. How innocent you are, clothed in memories of corridors, both quiet and clean, of desks in rows and hands held high for attention. Even the Pledge of Allegiance was said. Be sure, was the admonishment, to use a pencil. Then your mistakes can be erased. Praise to thee, all-merciful pencil. Amy Gaffney.
It is called At the Cafe. A little to the right, just two more inches until it catches light the way you like. The dribbling sky, blue coffee cup, the boomeranged formica, a plate with half a cookie, gray-green eyes, a golden watch, a duct-taped chair, and thou. This is Bob Garner.
For more information on the writers you've just heard, go to mynspr.org and click on the poetry link.
You've been listening to Nancy's Bookshelf, a production of North State Public Radio. You can find this and other episodes of Nancy's Bookshelf on our website, mynspr.org.